Thanks for coming tonight to First Wednesday. It's a little slippery out there, it's a little cold out there, so all of you who came definitely wanted to be here. So thank you for wanting to be here. There's an expectancy in my spirit that God is doing good stuff. And so I just want to encourage you tonight as we step into this service that we're going to be ready to receive everything that God has. All right? If you got a Bible, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22 is where we're going to spend most of our time here tonight. I really want to talk to you about falling in love with Jesus. I want to talk to you about loving God. Matter of fact, loving God first. And I think that's God's will, God's heart, what's God's word for us. As we come into 2020, and this is the first Wednesday of the year, because first Wednesday landed on January 1st. So this is our first Wednesday. And our vision for First Wednesday is to keep it really simple. We want to worship, we want to hear God's word, and we want to come to the altar, okay? And then let God do what God can do, what God wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. And so so I wanted to share the first message of this year because as we did 21 days of fasting and then we've made a challenging challenge to ask everybody to fast 3 days per month. And so this is the third day of our fast in February. And so tonight we'll end with communion. And then after that, the fast is off until March. All right? And I know some of you are already planning where you're going to go eat afterwards. So praise God. All right? And I always have this revelation after a fast is over. I have this deep revelation in my spirit. Do you know what that revelation is? Food is good. Amen, everybody? I mean, it's just like this new appreciation of food. It's amazing. And so thank you for everybody who's participating in the fast. And let me just go ahead and say that in my spirit, what I anticipate, what God is doing, of course, God is God. He gets to do whatever he wants. But what I sense in my spirit is that as we go through the year, that there's going to be this rise of the level of God's presence and power, not just in this church, but in your life. And 2020 will be different than any other year before. 2020 will be different than any other year before because we're going to see God move in unprecedented ways. In surprising ways, in deep and miraculous ways. And the reason is because God's word says if we draw close to him, he'll draw close to us. And God will always honor his word. And I just want to applaud you tonight for really making significant steps to draw close to Jesus. And he's going to draw close to us. Tonight I want to talk to you about loving God first because I know what I'm going to share with you is very simple, but I hope the Spirit makes it profound to you tonight that God did not create us for rules. He created us for relationship. God wants to know you. He wants to know your heart. He wants you to talk to him. He wants to be your father. He wants to love you deeply. The Creator, God, did not create you to obey rules. He created you to be his son. To be his daughter. He says to us, join my family. Let me be your father. Amen, everybody? What does God want from me anyway? He doesn't want you to be the kind of person that says, okay, here are the rules I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do this. That is not what he wants. That is not why he sent his son to die. He died so that we could call him Abba, Father. So that we could be adopted into his family because the Bible says we were far away. We were orphans. We were slaves. We were lost. but God sent his son Jesus, who paid the eternal price for our sin, so that now the Bible says we could be called the sons of God, the children of God. That is the Bible. That is the story. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we have a father who will not do, who will not stop for anything to have a relationship with me and you. God's invitation to all of us is, I want you to know me. I want you to be with me. I want you to hang out with me. And as you do that, I'll mold you. I'll shape you. I'll transform you. I'll heal you. I think we just try too hard. In Western Christianity, I think we just try, well, if I do this, if I do more of this, I do more of this. And we forget that the whole reason we do more is because we love more. Here's a real simple idea for the message here tonight. It's hard to do life for Jesus unless you're doing life with Jesus. Can I say that one again? It's hard to do life for Jesus if you're not doing life with Jesus. Can I go ahead and tell you, you can't do life you can't do life for him without doing life with him. And I think our mistake is, as believers many times, is that we approach this faith that we have with, instead of looking for a transforming relationship, we look for, what do I need to do? Matter of fact, a lot of people, you know, when they get saved, they say, okay, what do I need to do? And what do we always tell them? We say, well, you need to read your Bible, right? You need to pray. You need to come to church. Why? I don't know. That's just what you're supposed to do when you get saved. You're supposed to read your Bible. You're supposed to pray. You're supposed to come to church. Amen? Now, I think a lot of us have received that advice. A lot of us have given that advice. But I think the bigger question is, why do we do those things? Because they're more than just spiritual activity. They're more than just things to check off a list. These things are the means of relationship, right? God's word is his love letter to us. God's word, Jesus said, is the bread of life. Amen? And so God's word is not just words on a page. It's his wisdom. It's his roadmap. It's his direction, his hope for us. And how many know you're going to approach God's word differently if you see it that way? I don't have to check the box and say, okay, I read my Bible today. That's great if you read your Bible today, but how did you read it? How did you approach it? How did you say, okay, I got that one done, now on to my next thing? No. Rather than getting through it, how about we approach it as, it's going to bring life to me. This is God's love to me. Matter of fact, you might just want to go make sure you got a red letter edition, right? Because Jesus' words are in red, red for love. It's February and all that, amen? So when I read his word, it's love to me. And prayer is communicating with God. I'm talking to Jesus. I'm spending time in his presence. And rather than this rote thing or list that we go through, how about we just talk to Jesus? There's an old song my dad used to sing, Jesus knows all about our troubles. He already knows. Let's talk to him about what's going on in our lives. And why do we go to church anyway? We go to church because we fellowship with people of God. And we are the bride of Christ. And the Bible says we are becoming pure together. We are serving him together. And he is calling a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Amen, everybody? Are you getting this? And so the invitation that God gives to us is to be something, to be part of something greater than just religious activity. He wants us to love him, to talk with him. He invites us to walk with him, to be loved by him. And the Pharisees made that mistake in Matthew 22. So let's pick it up in verse 34. Matthew 22, verse 34. I was reading this just last week in my Bible reading, and I've been reading in the Amplified Bible this year in my Bible reading. And so, by the way, when I do Bible reading, I like to every year switch it up. I'll use a different translation or a different version just to get, you know, more perspective from the Bible. I've been reading the Amplified, and the Bible says in verse 34, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first," everybody say first, "first and greatest," everybody say greatest. "Greatest. This is the first and the greatest commandment." And Jesus goes on to say, all the law, all the prophets, the whole Bible is about this. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, sum it all up, all of the Levitical laws, all of the Proverbs, all of the Psalms of David and Moses and these incredible things, all of the Isaiah and Jeremiah, everything that they wrote, it's all about loving me. The Bible is a story about love. It's a story of God's love for us. And it's about loving God deeply. It's about loving God first. God is a father who created sons and daughters to be part of his family. Sin separated us from God's family. So God pays this incredible price at the cross to win us back, to redeem us. He literally purchased you. Late last year, I was in Africa, and I was in a part of Africa where the slave trade in the 1800s was one of the biggest slave markets in the world. And we were all forced into this very tiny room. I mean, it was an incredibly tiny room. You had to walk in and duck your head because the ceiling was so low. It was so primitive. It was concrete. It was cold. And the tour guide told us that up to 300 slaves would be crammed into this little bitty room, and most of them died of suffocation. And when they were able to get out, they would stand on the platforms. They would be whipped to see how strong they were, and there was this torture. I'm trying to point out something to you, that's what slavery is. And that's where we were. In spiritual slavery. We were in trouble. We had no control over our lives. We thought we did, but we were actually slaves to sin. Amen, everybody? And the Bible says that Jesus paid the price for us. He bought you. He paid the highest price possible to redeem us, to purchase us from sin. Amen, everybody? And that's what the whole Bible's about. That's what the Old Testament's about. That's what the New Testament is about, is that he loved us, and in response, we love him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, it says, this is love for God to keep his commandments, and his commands are not burdensome. Now watch this. So as a result of loving God, we keep his commandments. And he says his commandments are not burdensome. Now, if you've been around church for a long time, you've been serving Jesus for a while, you say, well, you know what, Pastor, some of those things are burdens. It's kind of hard. It's kind of difficult. But listen, when we love him, watch this, his commands are not burdensome. When we serve God out of duty or obligation, his commands are burdensome. And it's hard. And it's difficult to do what God, why do I need to go to church? Why do I need to pray? Why do I need to love my brother? Why do I need to forgive? That's hard. Unless we love him. When we serve out a duty or obligation, his commands are burdensome. But when we love him, they're not. Let me tell you the story of Tracy and Wayne. Is that okay to illustrate this story? I think there's a picture of my wife when she was a young lady. I met Tracy when I was 12. There it is, right there. When I was 12, we met at church, and just being honest with you, I had a crush on her for many years. People would ask me if I did, and I would say no, I was lying, you know, but I had a crush on her. Now, you can see from the picture that she's always been beautiful, but that wasn't the only reason that I was attracted to her. Tracy's always had this brightness in her eyes, this light, this life in her eyes. And it's love for God and love for people. And she loved the Lord. She loves the Lord. And there was this reverence for God, this holy fear of God in a very healthy way. And it was just amazing. And it's awesome. And so, I mean, I was just drawn to her. And so we got married, and we've been married for a long time. But can I tell you that when I do things for Tracy, it's not a burden to me. It's not a burden to me. I'll do anything for her because I love her. I'll lay down my life for her if necessary. Not because I have to, because I want to. because it's love in my heart for her. I'm trying to tell you that that's what God wants our relationship with him to be like. That we love him so much, it's not a burden for me to do what he asked me to do. I do it out of love for him because of his amazing love for me. Isaiah 62, verse 5. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder, talking about God, he will marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. God is comparing our relationship with him as a bride and a bridegroom, as a husband and a wife. Just like a young man marrying a young woman, there's love there, there's feelings there, there's emotion there, there's passion there. By the way, we should approach God with passion. God wants us to come to church not saying, oh no, another church service. No, I want Jesus. I want more of Jesus. I want more of his presence. I want more of his power in my life. Look at this verse. The Bible says that your God rejoices over you. He gets happy to see you. He gets happy when you're in his house. He gets happy because you got up in the morning. Look at my boy. Look at my daughter. They're awesome. They're amazing. That's an amazing thought. And so God wants our relationship with him to be one of love, not obligation or duty. Now, if you've been around Pastor Graham long enough, he's only been here a few weeks, but I'm going to tell you what, this exudes from his life. When I first talked to this guy about becoming our youth pastor, I said, this boy loves Jesus. There's a passion there. And his story is amazing of how God intervened and saved his life and how God sent another student to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and just saved him from a life that was horrible and bad. And now he's got a different life. Now he's got a wife and kids. And now he's a youth pastor at Grace Assembly of God. And if you were at the service a couple weeks ago on a Sunday night, a bunch of the parents were there, you saw what I'm talking about. Because it's not about hype. It's not about cool. It's not about all these things. We just want to love Jesus. I loved it. I sat there. I'm like, praise God. I want to love Jesus like Graham does. Give me more of that, Jesus. Give me more passion. That's what God wants us to have in our lives. Amen, everybody? My father-in-law is a lot like that. He's one of the loudest people in this room most Sundays. Can I tell you why? Because he loves Jesus. And there's no shame. And I'm really happy that he loves Jesus. Because before I started dating Tracy, she would bring, if a date would come home or somebody like that, he would immediately sit them down and grill them. Hey boy, do you love Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength? And I wasn't there, obviously, so I don't know what I said, but all I know is it worked. So thank you, John. Thank you, buddy. That's good news. If we try to serve God without loving him first, serving God will be really hard. If we try to serve God without loving him first, it'll be really difficult. That's what the Pharisees did with God's law. They turned 10 commandments into 613. Do you know that? These Pharisees that were surrounding Jesus, trying to trick him, trying to trip him up, trying to get him in trouble. And the reason was because they took 10 commandments from the Old Testament and they turned it into 613 laws that everybody had to follow or they weren't holy. And if you didn't follow the rules, then watch out, you're going to pay. I'm going to say it again. God never intended for our relationship with him to be based on rules. He wants us to be holy. He commands us to be holy. He wants us to be pure. He commands us to be pure. But it's the motive that changes everything. If you try to be holy in your own strength, you'll never be holy. If you try to be pure in your own power, you'll never be pure. But if you lean into God, hang out with him, talk to him, let his word talk to you, if you worship him and be in his presence, all of a sudden, he will begin to transform you and you'll become holy and you'll become more pure. Am I talking to the right people here tonight? See, God never intended our relationship with him to be based on rules. All I got to do is look at his names. Father, Shepherd, the Everlasting Father, the Wonderful God, Abba, Father. He invites us into his family as sons and daughters. And we love him because he first loved us. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's a familiar verse to a lot of us. But the problem is, most of us read this verse this way. If you love me, you'll show that you love me by doing what I tell you to do. And if you don't do what I told you to do, then you don't love me. Get on out of here. Most of us read that verse that way, but I don't think it's meant to be read that way. I think it's meant to be read, if you fall in love with me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, my commands aren't burdensome. It's not going to be hard. There may be a price to pay. There may be a cost involved, so we know that, but you'll do it out of love. Are you getting this? And so if you don't love Jesus, you're serving him out of duty versus out of delight. Let me give you a few things to think about to help you. If you want to move from rules to relationship, from duty to delight, let me encourage you to do a couple things. Number one, focus on the cross. Just sit for a minute and think about the cross of Jesus. Imagine you're just sitting there on that day. The Son of God. You believe he's the Son of God. He's suffering. He's dying. Blood is everywhere. It's violent. Why? And then he cries, God, why have you forsaken me? Because he tastes hell. All of our sin, all of the punishment for our sin, for all time, is poured out on Jesus. And why did he do that? He did it for me? Pastor, are you telling me that if I were the only one that was lost, he would do it for me? Yes. If it were just you, he would have sent his son. If it were just me, he would have sent his son. How many know that's amazing? Focus on the cross, and I want you to focus on the Father. Focus on the Father. It'll change your heart. See, the Bible says when Jesus was baptized, a voice came from heaven. And remember what he said? This is my son, whom I love, and in him I am well pleased. This is my son, whom I love, in him I am well pleased. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, do you know he says the exact same thing about you? This is my daughter, whom I love, and in you I'm well pleased. This is my son, Joe, everybody. I love you, Joe. I'm well pleased in you. Most of us don't think about God in those terms. When they're like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Uh-oh, I messed up. No, 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 no. He's your father. He's the prodigal father waiting and running when you come back to him. That's his heart. That's his love for us. That'll change the way you think. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. He says, I have this complaint against you. This is Jesus' letter to the church in Ephesus. I have this against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. See, it happens. It happens where we once loved God, but we moved away from relationship and it became a duty. It became a burden. It became a thing to do. I do this because I've always done this and I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to stay. But Jesus knows our hearts. He knows the motive of why we do what we do. And he says, I just got one thing against you. You don't love me the way you used to. You don't love my people the way you used to. And what's the remedy, he says? He says, the remedy, do what you did at first. Do what you did when you were first saved, when you first began to follow me. Do those works over again. And Jesus knows more than we do because he knows that if we begin to do what we did at first, the love that we have for him will be rekindled. It'll begin to be revived in our lives. So I do what I did at first. How many remember when you first got saved, the Bible was just awesome. It was amazing. It was life. How about you just read the Bible again, but don't read it to get it over with. Read the Bible looking for Jesus. Where is Jesus in this? Get and slow down and just think about it. and meditate on it. And guess what? Then pray about what you read about. That's when your prayer life's going to really begin to change. Instead of, oh, I got my list to go through, how about I read God's word and then I pray about what? When I was reading Matthew 22 the other day about loving God with all your heart, I said, God, first of all, forgive me if I've ever been Pharisaical in any way. If I've judged other people by their actions. If I have condemned other people or if I've looked down on other people. And I pray, God, you would help me to love you with all my heart. Do you see what we're doing there? Whatever I'm reading, I'm praying about. So just start a conversation with Jesus. And it's a two-way conversation, by the way. God speaks to us through his word. We speak to him in prayer. God wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. You got to talk to him. I have two boys. And I remember as they were growing up, we'd pick them up from school, we'd get home from work, you know, talking, hey, how'd your day go? Fine. Anybody else got boys, you know what I'm talking about? We would joke with them that we would have to call friends that were female to get the information about what was going on in their life because they just don't talk. And I think some of us approach prayer that way. We just got to say the minimum. Can I help you? He just wants you to talk to him. If you're hurting, tell him you're hurting. If you're upset, tell him you're upset. If you're mad, tell him you're mad. If you're disappointed, God, I'm disappointed. He can handle it. He's your father, and he loves you with all of his heart. Read the Bible. Pray. Worship. Just sing. Worship the Lord. Sing to God. Not just on Sundays, but every day. And guess what? Fast. We fast. Why do we fast? Because fasting disconnects us from the world, and prayer connects us to God. And when I choose to be physically hungry, and I don't know why this particular year, this revelation just seems to be coming back to me over and over again. When I choose physical hunger, it increases my spiritual hunger. I don't understand why that works, but it's true. When I choose to be physically hungry, it makes me more spiritually hungry. And Jesus said, they that hunger and thirst will be filled. Somehow doing these things draws me closer to God, and I love him more. And I actually feel love for him more. In these past 5 weeks of 2020, my love for Jesus has gotten a little more passionate. It's got a little bit more touchy-feely. I've cried a lot more in the last 5 weeks. Why? Well, I've been fasting and praying and worshiping. We were here 21 days in a row, everybody. Come on. What have we been doing? We've been drawing close to Jesus. He's drawing close to us. Back to Tracy and I's story. Tracy's side of our story is much different. She did not have a crush on me. But I was a good guy. But as we got older and went to college, we just started talking about life and the future and things like that. And after spending time with me, she fell in love with me and agreed to marry me. Now, I'm not comparing myself to Jesus by any stretch, but what I'm trying to tell you is the more time you spend with him, the more you're going to fall in love with him. The more time you spend in his word, the more time you spend in his presence, the more you're going to feel those feelings. The more you're going to experience the love and the grace of Almighty God. Amen, everybody? Because if I pray, if I worship, if I go to church, the more I'm going to fall in love with him, the more I realize he loves me, the more I realize he's the best thing that ever happened to me. And by the way, everything works better when you fall in love with Jesus. Everything's a little easier when you fall in love with Jesus, including evangelism, including sharing your faith. Because instead of me telling you what you did wrong and why you need Jesus, it's me telling you about what I did wrong and what Jesus did for me. That's called being a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many know that's way different? And that leads us into the gospel of Jesus. One last scripture, and then we're going to pray. Matthew chapter 25. I was reading this just the other day in the Amplified Bible. It's the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. And the last half of this will be on the screen. The first half, just listen. The Bible says, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five were foolish, five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Hey, the bridegroom's coming. Come out and meet him." So all the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Now pick this up in verse 8. But the foolish virgin said to the wise, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, "No, otherwise there won't be enough for us and for you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy oil for yourselves." But while they were going away to buy oil, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut and locked. Later the others also came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he replied, watch this, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, I do not know you." And amplified as this, "We have no relationship." You don't get to heaven by saying a prayer. You don't get to heaven by doing religious activity. When Jesus comes back, he's looking for people who know him personally. He's looking for people who have a relationship with him. I think the takeaway from this parable is very simple. You can't borrow your relationship with God from somebody else. If you're a young person or a student or a child, let me encourage you. You cannot borrow your parents' relationship with God. You have to have your own. You can't borrow from your spouse's relationship with God. You have to have your own. And guess what? You can't buy it either. You can't go buy it by giving something or exchanging or bribing God or negotiating with God that somehow I'm going to get into heaven. See, the oil in the lamp is love. Love for him. You can't borrow it. You can't buy it. You either have it or you don't. God's word to us as we begin 2020, the year of victory, the most important thing about you, do you love Jesus? Do you love him? Would you bow your head? Close your eyes. Would you ask yourself this question? Am I in love with Jesus? Am I in love with Jesus? Do I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength? Are the commands of God burdensome to you? Are you serving God out of duty or delight? Are you following him out of rules or relationship? Tonight, if you hear and you simply say, "You know what, Pastor? I could stand to love God more than I do right now. Yes, I love God, but I want to love him more. I want to love him with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength." Some of you, you've drifted. You've drifted so far from God, your heart is callous, your heart is becoming hard, and God is inviting you to come back. Son, he says, come back. Daughter, I love you. Draw close to me. I'll draw close to you. You may have been serving God a long time. You may have been serving God a few weeks. I don't know. But if you're honest here, you say, "You know what, Pastor? I could stand to love God more than I do right now." If that's you, would you raise your hand? I could stand to love God more than I do right now. The majority of people in this room are raising their hands. That's what I thought. I'm raising my hand too, by the way. I could love God more than I do right now. If your hand's raised, would you stand to your feet? Would you stand to your feet? And would you just begin to make a move toward this altar? Come on. If you're standing, you raise your hand. Make a move toward this altar. And just begin to confess to him. "God, I've been doing it out of duty versus delight." Come on, just begin to talk to him. "God, forgive me for approaching you, Lord, in the wrong spirit, in the wrong attitude." Just come in and kneel if you want, stand if you want. But you begin to pray. "God, let that fire begin to burn in my heart. Let that fire burn in my spirit. Let the passion for you that I once felt or never felt, God, just begin to do that. Begin to burn in my spirit. Come on, I want you to begin to pray hard. Talk to Jesus. Talk to your Father. We love you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you that you love me first. Come on, press in, everybody. I want everybody that can to make room in the altar tonight. Come on, press in. Press in, press in, press in. Press in. Jesus, help me love you. Help me love you the way you love me. You laid it all down. You gave it all to me. You poured out your love for me. You poured out your grace upon me, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would baptize me in the love of God. God, I pray that I would love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength, mighty God. Fill me with your love. Baptize me in your love. Overflow me with your love, mighty God. Come on, thank him for the cross. God, we sit at the feet of the cross, at the foot of the cross, and we're amazed by the grace of God. We're amazed by the kindness of God. How you loved me, Lord. How you loved me, God. You suffered, you died, you paid the ultimate price for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you for the cross. Show me again the wonder of the cross, the glory of the cross, the grace of the cross. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my God, would die for me? Lord, one more time, let the glory of the cross just overwhelm me. Reveal the cross to me one more time, God. How much you love me. For God so loved Wayne that he gave his only son. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, that you're my Father. You're my Father, God. I'm your son. And in me, you're well pleased. That's amazing, God. Thank you for running after me. Thank you for chasing after me. Thank you for following me, God. Thank you for chasing me down and not giving up on me, God. Come on, church, begin to thank him. Thank you, Lord God, that you didn't let me go. God, you didn't let me go to destruction, but God, you sent your Holy Spirit. You sent people in my life. You put praying people in my life to save me, to rescue me, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Let your love move and burn in my spirit. Baptize me. God, forgive me if I've been like the church of Ephesus in Revelation. God, I haven't loved you the way I did at first. God, I pray you'd start, help me, to God, to do those first works over again. Give me a new love for your word, a new love for your presence, a new love, oh God, for your church, a new love for the bride of Christ. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, pray hard, church. Jesus, baptize me in your love. Pour out your love. Pour out your grace. Come on, worship team. I want you to pray too. Come on, pour out your love. Pour out your grace. Pour out the Spirit of heaven. Pour out the glory of God. Baptize me, God. Set me on fire. God, let that passion, more passion than ever before, more glory, more anointing, God. I pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned.
Thank you, God.
And I'm alive and well, and your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again.
Amazing love.
Amazing love, how can it be?
Thank you, Jesus.
You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love. Amazing.
This is a great time to have communion, so I apologize if you'd return to your seat and grab the elements of communion and prepare to gather around the Lord's table. Can we sing that chorus one more time as everybody moves to that direction?
Amazing love.
Every aspect of communion is love. Everything about communion is a reminder of love. So when we take the bread in our hand, we are remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his suffering. And when I remember his love, I respond with love. I love you, God. When I put this piece of bread, this emblem in my mouth, I am physically saying, I'm mentally making a decision. Jesus, you love me. I love you. May your love come into me. May your love fill me. I hope we never take communion the same again, because I am actually eating into myself the love of God. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your amazing gift. Thank you, God. We love you, Lord. We confess it. Would you confess it with your mouth? I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Let this love that comes into my body, let it just permeate to everybody. Healing relationships, healing families, healing minds and hearts. Let this love come into me, God, as I physically take this bread into my body. May the love of God just grow. Receive the bread. No greater love The Bible says, has any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends? This is a cup representing the love of Jesus Christ, the greatest love of all time. And let me encourage people who are maybe so far in the service, you're saying, well, Pastor, I've tried, Pastor this, Pastor that. Can I encourage you? You're never going to be able to do it on your own. You need God's help. Jesus, help me love you more than I do right now. Jesus, help me love your word more than I do right now. Help me to love praying. Help me to love worshiping. Help me to love fasting. Now, there's a prayer. Amen. Help me to love you more than I love food. Help me to love you more than I want anything else in my life. I want you. That's what we're doing when we drink this cup right here. Jesus, help me to love you the way you love me, which means you love me first. Now I'm going to love you. All my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. Jesus, that's our prayer. May we love you with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. May we never replace relationship with rules. May your commandments never be burdensome. But God, may everything that we do flow out of an incredible supernatural love for you. Forgive us, God, for ever acting like a Pharisee. Forgive us for judging others harshly. God, may we live and walk and speak the grace of God. The same grace that we're about to take into our bodies. May that grace and that love just flow out of us to everybody. In Jesus' name, receive the cup together. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Everybody stand.
I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. And may it be a
one more time, all your voice, everything you've got tonight. I love you, Lord. Thing. I think we're going to see more miracles and more victory in our lives simply because we draw close to Him. He is the miracle. He is the provider. He is the healer. He's the way maker. And if I'm close to Him, He brings everything He has with Him. I don't have to strive for it. I don't have to beg for it because the Bible says it's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen, everybody? And so we don't have to work so hard. We just gotta work hard on loving Jesus. And good stuff's gonna happen. Amen.